This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thank you so much for sending me your questions and comments, and please continue to send any question and comments to any new listeners who are new to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Please send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Taking your questions today. Let's see how many I can get to. I've got an email from somebody in California. Let's call her C. That's her initial. She writes, Layla, I had the SIBO hydrogen test 2 years ago, and I guess she had SIBO and she lost a lot of weight. C says, I did rifaximin and then oregano oil, which was very helpful. I then took probiotics, Prescriptacyst, which was best for me. I'm still not able to put on weight. I have to eat some carbs, gluten-free, starchy veggies, to keep the weight on. But too many resistant starches will start to cause problems. C continues to write, she says, I need to take digestive enzymes to absorb everything better, but every time I try them, I burn inside a few hours after eating when the food moves into the small intestine. I've stayed away from aloe, slippery elm, DGL, and marshmallow because they say mucilaginous herbs can irritate SIBO. I don't want to start new problems, but I feel I need to heal the lining so I can take enzymes. Glutamine seems to cause blood sugar problems. What do you think of introducing the mucilaginous herbs at night before bed? Thank you, from C. You know what? This is a consult. I'll tell you right there, but I'm going to address some of your questions, concerns, my take on what you're telling me in this email, and the things that I would question and want to test further. So here's a little insight on what I would be asking or looking for in a consult. C has SIBO. And while she has treated the SIBO, and SIBO is the acronym, S-I-B-O is the acronym for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. This has become quite prevalent, especially in this country, and one of the reasons is the use of antibiotics, but really the use of acid-blocking agents, your proton pump inhibitors, your Nexium and your Prilosec and all of those, which are lowering acid. And because of that change in the pH of the gastrointestinal tract, making it more alkaline, this sets up the GI tract for opportunistic bacteria to grow, hence then the growth of SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So SIBO is typically treated in mainstream with an antibiotic called rifaximin or xifaxan, same thing. It's an antibiotic which is extremely helpful and also very expensive to treat SIBO. C also used oregano oil, which was very helpful. Oregano oil is a potent antimicrobial, antifungal, a whole lot of those things, and actually is one of the things found in Candibactin AR, which is concentrated essential oils from thyme, oregano, herbal extracts, and all of those kind of things, which are helpful. C also took probiotics. Prescript Assist, which is a particularly powerful soil-based probiotic called Prescript Assist, which was the best for her, which is terrific. Probiotics are great. And C, your main complaint is that you're not able to put on weight. You're eating some carbs, gluten-free, starchy veggies to keep the weight on. That is good. Now, the fact that you take digestive enzymes to absorb everything, but every time you take them, you burn inside a few hours after eating when food is moving, is digesting and moving down through the duodenum, through the small intestine. The first thing I would say to you is anything that you believe you're having an adverse reaction to, stop taking. So stop taking those digestive enzymes. It could be the HCl, the hydrochloric acid, that is not beneficial right now. There could also be something else going on in your stomach. It could be that, well, first of all, A, you should first be retested for SIBO to see if you have any existing SIBO. This could be why you're reacting to digestive enzymes. This could still be a reason you're not able to put weight on. Some other questions I would have about the weight loss that occurred. Did you then suddenly become underweight? Is it necessary for you to put the weight on? Could it be that you're already in a healthy weight and you don't need to put the weight on? These are things that I would ask. I would also ask about the characteristics of your stool. Is it a fully formed stool? Are there any undigested food particles? Anything like that? Are you having trouble with very malodorous stool? That would indicate to me possibly steatorrhea or the lack of fat digesting enzymes where you're malabsorbing fat. That could be something. It could be something else by way of the other supplements that you're currently taking. There are many other reasons why you're not able to regain the weight that you've lost. It could be that you have a thyroid issue. Might you have hyperthyroiditis or Graves' disease, which is the autoimmune hyperthyroidism? This would certainly not allow you to put any weight back on because it throws your metabolism into overdrive. Maybe everything was fine with your thyroid, but before you had SIBO 2 years ago, when you tested positive for SIBO, maybe that's when things started to occur. Normally, any kind of a health issue that presents itself, there's usually something that occurs prior to that throws us off and then supports the progression of any kind of a health condition. Could it also be that since you took rifaximin and the oregano oil, that it has wiped out too much of the good bacteria in your system and there's still opportunistic bacteria there? So I would be a big proponent of you being retested for SIBO, but also tested for dysbiosis. Dysbiosis meaning bad bacteria growing in your gut, in your GI tract. This could be yet another reason that you're not able to put on weight. Could the introduction of the things that you had to do to eradicate the SIBO brought on some gluten intolerance? Were you ever checked for gluten intolerance? Maybe you were gluten intolerant before, but it didn't really become, maybe it was underneath the clinical horizon until you experienced SIBO and had to treat SIBO. See, there could be a lot of things at play here, and that's why your question is really a consult. And I'm hoping that you and others who are listening to this may find this helpful in terms of a comprehensive, what goes into a comprehensive consult, the things that I would be looking for and asking. And if you do quite possibly have gluten intolerance, That could be the reason you feel like you need to take digestive enzymes to absorb everything better. I want to know what you mean by that, why you feel like you're not absorbing things well. And besides eating gluten-free grains, there could also be cross-reactivity. I would also want you to be tested for celiac disease to completely rule that out before embarking on any kind of a gluten-free diet. So, and even those with gluten intolerance or celiac, they also still have cross-reactivity with some of the non-gluten grains, such as millet and amaranth, and even brown rice, believe it or not, or just regular rice. So this may be a possibility. This burning that you're feeling in your stomach after taking digestive enzymes or anything, I would want to know, might you have an ulcer? But first order of business is stop taking them. Does the burning sensation go away? And if not, you really need to have that checked out. And if there is any kind of reflux that's occurring, and since you have trouble with glutamine because it's causing blood sugar problems for you, taking a product such as Endafin can be very helpful because it's designed to nutritionally support the overall health and function of the upper gastrointestinal tract. That includes the stomach, the gastric mucosa, the duodenum, the sum of the small intestine. And what it does, it supports integrity of the gastric lining, that's the stomach lining, by promoting the growth of gastric mucosal cells. It promotes the thickness and strength of the protective gastric mucin layer. It selectively promotes the bifidobacterium and lactobacillus acidophilus growth to support balanced, healthy flora. These may also be things that you need in order to further eradicate SIBO, if SIBO exists. Endafin will also provide key nutrients to enhance GI immune system function, and it helps to promote the production of beneficial short-chain fatty acids and decrease the generation of things like ammonia. And what it contains, and this can be very, very helpful, vitamin C, just a little bit of calcium, sodium, potassium, arabinogalactins from larch gum, phosphatides, astaxanthin, D-mannose, and particular herbs such as green tea leaf extract, okay, cinnamon bark, plantain fruit, and apple fruit powder. These can help to support the lining of the gastric mucosa, to support the lining of the stomach, the small intestine, all of that, to see if this can be helpful. The fact that glutamine seems to cause blood sugar problems, it could be that the glutamine in and of itself is not great for you, or there's a little too much sweetening in the glutamine product that you're taking. If you're concerned about the mucilaginous herbs such as slippery elm, DGL, all of these are more for GERD. If you're having GERD symptoms, which is more of a burning in the esophagus, a heartburn, that's where those would be indicated. So I'm not sure that this would really be the way to go in terms of your concentration on the mucilaginous herbs at all, taking them at night before bed. So there's a realm, there's a whole spectrum of things that I would want to look at and rule out before you embark on your own with any kind of self-diagnosis. And again, as I said before, the first order of business, stop the digestive enzymes, get retested for SIBO, get tested for dysbiosis in your GI tract, be tested for gluten intolerance, celiac disease. I would also get a stool test done to see what types of bacteria are there in the large intestine, if you have enough bifidobacteria, lactobacillus species, any of those, or anything else that might be going on that are keeping you from the weight gain that you desire if you're underweight or feel like you're underweight or don't feel like you're at a healthy weight. I would want to know the frequency of your bowel movements, your bowel habits, or if there's any indication of problems there, lower belly gas, bloating, any undigested food particles with your stool, if there's any mucus associated with your stool, any blood. I mean, there's a whole lot of things to look at. So C, thank you very, very much for your question. Thank you for listening to these podcasts. I hope this will prompt you to further seek a nutrition consult with somebody qualified to take a look at all of this. And even a nutrition consult, your nutritionist would probably refer you to a gastroenterologist to look at these things. Maybe an endoscopy is required. Maybe a colonoscopy is required to rule out any kind of ulcer or any other kind of health condition that's going on there. And the retest for SIBO is a breath test. That's simple enough. That's something I would be able to prescribe for you as well. But before I would even put you on different supplements and things, the first order of business would be to eliminate the digestive enzymes, certain other foods that may be problematic, and to test rather than willy-nilly groping in the dark about another product to take for the discomfort you're feeling. Thank you very, very much for your question, C. And I hope you find some answers to your question soon. I have another question here via email. The person writes, Layla, why do you not recommend iron in your multivitamin? Now, those of you who are subscribers to our weekly newsletter, the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, you would see the answer. You would also see the answer on our website, but I thank you for writing. And the reason I don't recommend iron in a multi is because iron is something that can accumulate in the body and can cause other problems. Let me explain. Iron in a multivitamin is typically fine for a premenopausal woman, a woman who still menstruates, and for younger people who may need some iron who aren't getting any. And also, iron would be indicated for vegetarian and vegans, for vegetarians and vegans who are not getting the best sources of iron from their plant sources. And the reason is our plant sources of iron, such as spinach, peas, lentils, foods of that nature, contain phytates or phytic acid. These phytates bind minerals like iron in those foods and keep us from absorbing them. So really, we're maybe getting only 10% of the iron or other minerals like calcium and magnesium from those foods. So vegetarians, vegans who may be low in iron, it would be indicated for them to take iron in a multivitamin. Now, those who have full-blown iron deficiency anemia, it would be indicated for them not just to have iron in a multi, but to take a separate iron supplement. And you really need a firm diagnosis on that. I don't recommend anybody start themselves on a separate iron supplement unless they have confirmation from a health professional that they have iron deficiency anemia. Another test that I find very, very valuable is a blood test for ferritin. Ferritin is the storage form of iron. And if you're low in ferritin, quite low, say your ferritin number is 7 or 12 or 14, you need to up your intake of heme sources of iron. Now, the reason I don't like iron in a multivitamin, men should not be taking additional iron like in a multivitamin, and nor should postmenopausal women. Those categories of people don't have any way to shed any excess iron from the body, and any kind of excess iron that accumulates can be toxic to the heart, can and will cause inflammation in the body. So we have to be careful of that. A good indicator of too much iron in the body or inflammation in the body would be a very high ferritin level, over 170, over 200, something like that. Now, for those, and that's why my favorite multivitamin is really actually Foundation Formula or any well-made multivitamin that does not contain iron. it would be the best way, because I don't want for those people with healthy iron levels, with normal iron levels, to necessarily get additional iron from a multi. What you're getting in your food sources is quite enough, especially your heme sources like red meat, egg yolks, organ meats like liver, kidneys, heart. Dark meat poultry, it's in the dark meat. It's not in the chicken breast, it's in the chicken leg. The iron is there in the dark meat, along with selenium and zinc. See, there's more nutrition in the dark meat. And for those of you who are low in iron, you can enhance the absorption of the iron from your food, as well as any vitamins you're taking, by taking some vitamin C. Vitamin C will also be in your multi. But taking additional vitamin C could be in the form of strawberries, red peppers, an orange, a little lemon juice squeezed on your spinach to help enhance the absorption of the little bit of iron that you may get there. And of course, the iron that you will get from your heme sources, from your steak. Another thing that will enhance the absorption of the iron in your foods would be a little bit of red wine. I am not a proponent of beginning alcohol if you do not drink. Do not start drinking red wine if you are low in iron. I would prefer you just eat high iron foods like your dark meat, poultry, your red meat, and so forth and so on. So the reason I don't recommend iron in a multi is those populations of people with normal iron levels don't need that additional iron, and the accumulation of all that iron may become toxic, especially to the heart. It's not often that that can occur, but I've seen it often enough, and especially in those who are self-prescribing iron supplements that are finding themselves getting in trouble. And I only find this out during a consult because I know to test, okay? So thank you for your question, and I thank you for joining me in another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.